All right, how are you guys doing this Sabbath? Praise the Lord. You know, it is always a blessing to be in this church. I was just some student that you guys were stuck with, and you've been so kind. I've learned a ton from the elders. I've learned a ton in the kitchen watching all you guys cook for us on some of the Sabbaths. Man, I love some good food. Amen. Can I get a witness? It's good stuff. So I'm just glad to be here. I have some good friends. This is now, I consider this my home church here in Lincoln. Amen. You know, I love the announcement about the Pathways Ministries. Amen? I love what it's about. I love the concept of serving those in need. But how many times, I mean, let's be honest, okay? How many times have we sat in these pews, all of us, for years? We've sat here like this, and we've heard about people on the streets. We've heard about the drug problems. We've realized that there are more slaves in the world today than in world history. That sex slavery is in the United States. That the drug problem is growing. That our children are leaving the church. That oftentimes we feel disconnected from the church. It's like the problems are just mounting and mounting. And I've only been in the church for 7 years. So from some of those saints that have been in the church for probably 30 or 40 years, can I get a witness? Is it true? Am I right? I only see this much, so maybe I'm wrong. But things are getting worse, okay? Because people are getting more selfish. I find myself, even though I know more about the Bible, now that I'm getting older, I have to make more important decisions. And I find myself at odds sometimes with my own selfish desires and those things that I know God wants me to do. I find myself at odds. And I say, what am I going to do? We hear about ministries like Pathways, which are beautiful ministries, amen? Amen. That have a good purpose, amen? Amen? That change the world and people's lives, amen? Amen? But it seems like for every ministry, there are 10 that need to be done. And it seems like for every ministry, there are 10 lifetimes that I could give to that single ministry. So when does it end? When Jesus comes, amen? Okay, but let's say that Jesus doesn't come for 50 years. We're just going to, you know, I don't want to, whatever. Let's say 50 years. That means thousands of sex slaves. That means thousands of children die from drugs. That means I have to struggle for 50 years, if I live that long, through sin and pain. And the question is, where do we find something to stand on? What do we do about it? Because if we're honest, we're all a little angry of the circular path that we seem to just keep going through, right? I'm in History of the Christian Church, and we've started with the Apostolic Church, right? Right after Jesus died, from 31 to 100 AD. Then it goes from 100 to 313 AD, when there was tons of persecution, and then from there to 500 AD, and it just goes and goes, and we see how it became what we call the Catholic Church today. When they fell into apostasy, and then the Protestant Reformation. And then those people have kind of started going back to the Catholic Church. And we see in our own church, sometimes people, we're not really, you know, we're not in the Bible. We're not, we just have all these frustrations. Amen? And we want to be the difference. Everybody always says, oh, those people over there, what's wrong with them? And yet we go back to, I go back to school tomorrow, I'm sorry, day after tomorrow. We're not a Sunday church. I'm just kidding. I go back to school on Monday, and I go through my life, and I live 5 days where everything's about me. And then I come here on Sabbath, and I preach about how broken the world is. And then I study on Sunday, and then I go to school again, and I do the same thing all week again. And I personally have gotten tired of that. Now, I'm not saying there's a quick fix. You know, this isn't OxyClean. Okay? That's not how life is. We all know that's not how real life works. But the question is, what do we do? I'd like to read Philippians 4:6 again. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it real quick. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But the question is, why? Why? Turn to Exodus 34. Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible. Now in Exodus, what happens in Exodus? Somebody yell something. Say the people, tell your neighbor, the people exited. Tell your neighbor. Okay, now, so what did they exit? They exited Egypt. Okay, amen. Okay, now we're on the same boat here. We're all together. 34. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. It says this. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children of their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. I want you to notice the difference here. Third and fourth generation, he punishes the sin. And then how many generations does he forgive? Thousands. You see, God is faithful and good. Moses was standing on Mount Sinai, and the first thing God does, okay, he had given them all of the signs, all of the plagues, right? His power, his goodness. But then when Moses needed it most, God passes before him. His goodness was so good, God couldn't see his face, all right? I wish I was that good looking, but I'm just not, you know. None of us are. You see, God's goodness is so powerful that God had to see just the tail of his robe, right? But let's think about it. In creation, God creates us, everything, in 6 days. And on the seventh day, what did he do? Rested. Now, why did he do that? To have fellowship with us. Now, we say that. That's absolutely true. Amen. He had fellowship with us. Amen? Does he want to have fellowship with us today? Amen. Amen. Does that mean that we just say we're having fellowship with him, but we don't actually spend time with him? I just feel like taking a nap today? No. It's about actually seeing God, right? That's where the beauty comes from, is when we see God. So in creation, God wanted to see us. On Mount Sinai, God comes. His glory is so good. Moses, the holiest man that you know of, other than Jesus probably, couldn't see his face. And then what happens in the incarnation? Jesus reveals himself by a God. God died on a cross. Amen? I don't know how else he could have showed his love any more clearly. And then at the second coming, God shows his goodness by a whole host of angels coming, melting the earth away from his glory and saving all of his people. God reveals himself clearly when it matters. Amen? But it's because we need to see him. You see, God doesn't ask us to serve him because he's selfish. God asks us to serve him because he is the best option. It's not his fault. You can't get mad at him. You can't say, oh, you're being selfish because you want my adoration. No, he's saying, you need to adore me because I am the best thing. I'm sorry. Amen? God's the best thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is what we're going to do today. You're not going to like it, and I'm okay with that. Just, you see, at church, why do we come to church? I want to ask you a question. When you woke up this morning, were you wearing a suit? But it had been Sabbath for like 12 hours, you sinner. Okay, see, we wear certain clothes and we do these things so we can come together. We have expectations. We have traditions. We come together as a family. Those traditions and stuff aren't necessarily bad or not necessarily good. As long as we remember the point. We come to church so that we can be the body. So we can be the body. Now, is a finger the same as an arm? No. Is a finger, a hand, the same as my mouth? But do they have to be connected to be a body? Amen. So today we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Have you guys ever heard of the Acts thing of prayer? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's what we're going to do today. I have my phone here, and I'm going to set it for 3-minute increments, okay? And each time, we're going to talk about adoration. I just shared with you some things about the beauty of God, right? He's beautiful, amen? Amen. Now, you're not going to like this, okay? But I'm going to make you pray. And I'm going to make you pray with people you might not know. I want you to find someone, and today we're going to pray adoration. Now, what that means is, it's not thanks. I struggle with this, because I've been doing this for a week now, and it's hard. When we think of adoring God, we automatically want to say thank you, right? That's not what we're doing. We are setting our minds. We're getting ourselves in the perspective of just who God is. God, you're awesome because. God, you're great because. I've seen your power because. Amen. So I'm going to set it for 3 minutes right here. And you're going to hear a beep at the end of those 3 minutes. That's when you're going to stop praying. This isn't a math assignment. This isn't homework. This is just an opportunity, okay? So you can pray by yourselves. You can pray with your best friend. You can pray with your cousin. I don't care. Pray with somebody for 3 minutes and go. Amen. Thank you, church. You know, I'll give everybody a couple seconds to finish. When we see God, at least when I first saw God, I remember the first thing I did was, I'd been Christian for a while, but the first time I really got salvation by faith and that it was free, I was doing a Bible study with someone and it clicked. And I was so excited that I ran out of the room I was in. I ran down the hall. It was 11:30 at night. And I woke up my roommate and I said, "Dude, it's free." And he said, "What?" He was like, "What?" I was like, "Salvation is free." And he's been Adventist his whole life. And he was like, "Yeah, dude." And I was like, "You don't get it. You don't have to do anything." I was so excited. And I was like, "Yes, God." And then what happened is I started thinking about my own life, right? And I grew up in the era of education where they were like, believe in yourself, be all you can be, reach for the stars, the sky's the limit. So we never want to think about the fact that actually I know I have problems, right? We want to kind of avoid that because if we don't think about it and we just work really hard at all the good things, then the bad things will just disappear somehow. Haven't you guys had that happen to you? Huh. Interesting. You saints. All right. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. We're in Psalm 51, if you haven't caught that. Psalm 51. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. My sin is always before me. The truth is that if we don't have God, if we don't give ourselves to him, that sin's not going to go away. You're not going to get away from it. I don't care how many girls or guys you date, or how many video games you play, or how many drugs or alcohol you do, or how hard you work, or how rich you become. And we all know that, if we're honest. So we've seen how good God is. And that's why we're going to go to him. That's why we're going to go to him. And we're going to confess our sins. We're going to open up to him. We're going to say, you know what, God? Here I am. This sin has been before me, and I want to give it to you. I want to let go of that pride. I want to let go of that selfishness, of that fear, and I want to give it to you. So I pray that today, for these next 3 minutes, that you'll just take this time, and if you need more time when you go home, do the same, that you'll open up to God and confess yourself, confess those struggles you have, and give yourself to him. 3 minutes. Amen. The truth is, we do know God is good. Amen. And we do know that I'm a sinner. Amen. And at the same time, we're thankful. Now, we wouldn't be thankful if God just sat around and was up above wound us up like a clock and watched us suffer and die. People always get mad at God for the bad things in the world, right? The truth is, though, God created everything, right? See, before God created everything, there was nothing. Now, I just want, like, picture this for me, okay? Now, if God created it, okay, God created it, then it would necessarily be good, right? Because, like, God is perfectly good. There was nothing, and then he made all of those things. So anything that comes from him would have to be good, right? And then he gave that, we don't understand this completely, it's hard to understand it, but God gave us the opportunity to turn away from him, right? You see, so what that is, what sin is, just like what darkness is to light, darkness isn't actually a thing. Darkness is just the lack of a thing. Cold is not a thing. Cold is just the lack of energy, which we would call heat. Sin is not actually a thing. There is a power that comes from sin when we turn from God. But it's not a thing. It's just the lack of God. And the lack of God brings selfishness. It brings death. Because without life, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we see good, we shouldn't be surprised at bad things, actually. Because you see, man turned away from God. The good news of the gospel is that there is anything to be good. God blesses people who are arrogant and think that they know everything so that they have good manners, even though they don't give him praise for those good manners. God blesses people with food even though they're atheists and they curse his name. The fact that you have food and you're a sinner should blow your mind. Because by the fact that we're a sinner, that means as long as I'm not completely given to him, that means when I'm living a selfish life, I'm walking around and I'm destroying his creation. And yet, God gave you food. God let you be born. God gives you a chance. The Bible says he knocks at the door of your heart so that you can have the chance. He's willing to take the brokenness that you bring. He's willing to let you destroy his people and hurt yourself so that you can have the chance to find him. And he makes himself so obvious that you would actually have to turn away from him to not find him. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful because though I sin and I'm broken, God's there. Amen? The Bible says it in Psalms 30. You might turn there with me. Psalms 30, 8 through 12. This is a psalm of David, and it says this. Psalms 30, 8 through 12. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give. This is a psalm of David, and it says this. Psalms 38 through 12. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Like I said, you see, we can't blame God. You can't get mad at God that he actually is the best thing out there. He is the real deal. Amen. As Pastor Belcher would say at Allen Chapel, the real deal. You see, God is the thing we're searching for. And that moaning, that crying, that pain, he will turn to dancing. Our tears, he will turn to thanksgiving. So I pray that you guys will look at your life for the next 3 minutes, the things that you're struggling with, and that God has helped you through because of his goodness, because of his grace. Amen? 3 minutes. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, before I go to this next section, I just want to make a quick statement. I know we're about to run late, but we'll be fine. We're in prayer. Amen? I want to make a note before I go to this next section. I just want to say, now this is something dangerous. People like to mix psychology and theology sometimes, right? Because you see, God connects to humans, right? God connects to humans. So in order to be a good pastor or to be a good Christian, if you want to like connect with people, it's better if you can understand how people think, right? Because you're connecting God, theology, to humans, psychology. Amen? Now, I know it's oversimplification, but there's something that I believe is absolutely true, and I've seen it in my life with my friends and my family. 20 minutes. It takes about 20 minutes in a conversation to get past all of the, how you doing, what's going on in life, oh yeah, the kids, the job, you know. It takes about 20 minutes to get past the shallow stuff for humans. And the thing about prayer is, I don't know if you remember this, but there's God, and then there's a what? There's God, and then there's a human. Amen. There's God, and then there's a human. So if it takes 20 minutes about for humans to open up to God, this isn't a, like, doctor's note. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, I would suggest that if you pray for 3 minutes and you don't really feel like you're connecting to God, maybe it's not God's problem. Because I know for me, I don't just open up to anybody and just tell them what's really going on in my life. Oftentimes, the times when people break down and they finally open up to God, he's been working on their heart for weeks and they've just been ignoring him. So maybe, you know, those 20 minutes took 3 weeks, and then they say, oh, you can just open up to God and you're going to feel really close to him all of a sudden. That's really not how it works in my life. Oftentimes, it takes me a while. I have to calm down. I have to sit in a quiet place. I have to go where I'm not surrounded by kids and by homework and by, you know, and I have to just take time. That's all I have to say about that. And maybe it'll be more of a blessing to you if you take that time. Because I hope as a family, that's one thing I'm thankful for. I was thinking about that while we were praying. I'm so thankful for this church that we come together as a family, right? We're here to support each other. So maybe if you're not that great at prayer and you're not really sure what to do, find someone in the church you trust and go to them. Say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Be real. Open up. Take 20 minutes maybe. Amen. Now let's go to supplication. That's kind of a theology word. Supplication. Like, we're so Adventist. Like, who says that? Right? Do you ever say, like, if you're talking to someone and you need help from them, like, I would like, I'm doing supplication now. Yes. And then you ask them for something and they say, thank you for your supplication. No. What supplication really is basically, if we're going to simplify it, my friend is struggling, I'm going to pray on behalf of them. Right? So let's go to James 5. I didn't pray for the whole 3 minutes so that I could take time to find the book of James because it's little. And this Bible has little tiny pages, so it's hard to find it sometimes. So I'm right there. I'll give you guys a couple seconds. James 5. James 5, verse 16. I'm tricky. Okay. James 5, verse 16. It says this, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, you might say. You see, it says, pray for one another that you might be healed. I don't know how that works. Okay? Because I think about it, I'm like, I have to, it's my choice, right? If I serve God. Amen? So how can I, if I'm just wandering off in the wilderness by myself and someone prays for me, how can that affect, you know what I'm saying? Like, part of me is kind of like, how does that, like, that doesn't seem fair. Well, first of all, I thought about it, and I was like, well, God's doing a good thing. I don't know, like, if you were being treated unfairly, but someone was giving you $1,000, would you really be like, how dare you? How dare you bless my life? If I was about to graduate from Union, and I owed them $1,000, and they said, don't worry about it. What I wouldn't do is go up to the financial aid office and say, how dare you give me $1,000? That wouldn't happen. So there's that aspect. God, in his unfairness in this way, I think he's just giving us kindness. He is gracious. He gives us an open door to find him again. Some people have wandered so far that if it wasn't for God's grace, they probably would never see him again. They've hardened their heart to the place that God has to take a chisel and put a little hole of softness in there so he can sprinkle some love in. All right? I didn't plan saying that, so sorry. Okay, but let's turn to Mark 2. Mark 2, while you all laugh at me a little bit. You know, I've preached a lot of times, and I still say the darndest thing. Like, why did I say that? I'll be kicking myself later. Okay, Mark 2, verse 4 and 5. I love this story. I'm going to start in verse 3, actually. Mark 2, verse 3. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let's look at this. Okay, so you're in a house, right? You're with Jesus. That's pretty cool. And all of a sudden, the roof starts, like, there's dust falling, and you're in an old house. Maybe you think it's going to fall on you. You're a little nervous. There's little square, like, they kind of made it, it's hard to explain, but it had little squares where they could cut out a square, basically, and the rest of the roof wouldn't fall down, okay? Because it was like a thatched roof kind of thing. So you see this hole, like, bam, there's light from above. Hallelujah. And this man, like, you didn't expect that. A man starts coming down from heaven. Okay, this is a little miraculous. You're wondering what's going on. And then, ooh, this is where it gets real. Verse 5, when Jesus saw, so Jesus looks, Jesus is talking, blah, 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 and then he looks, he sees this, the man, oh, okay, and then it says this, when Jesus saw their faith, wait a minute, whose faith? Okay, here I am, I'm laying here on the ground, I'm a paralyzed man. And I'm saying, I can't walk. I could use some help. And Jesus heals me. And do you know why? Do you know why Jesus heals me? Jesus heals me because my friends had faith. What? Are you sick? What? Jesus, you're tricky. You see, because when I'm friends with somebody, there's this thing about love, about a real relationship that is necessarily true. If you really care for someone, part of you have kind of given yourself in a degree to them. Okay? Right? Now, I don't think this is the only way to do it, but in our culture today, we have what we call dating. And I talked to my dad about this. You see, 50 years ago, my dad said that 50 years ago, dating was like, it's funny, my mom, she would go to Vespers with one person, she'd go to Sabbath school with another guy, she'd go to church with another guy, and then she'd go to V2 that night with a different guy. And in their culture, that was fine. They were just getting to know each other, kind of seeing how it was. But today, different story. If I did that, I would be kicked off the block by all the ladies. Word would go around that Josh was a player. Now, the reason is because of this. Look, this is why. Because today, you talk to the girl, you meet her somewhere, and then you say, hey, I have a group of friends. You don't really care about the other people, but you have a group of friends, and you want her to come hang out with your group of friends. And then you spend some time together, and then finally, if you go on a date, now you're kind of like, ooh, are you guys a thing? And you can't really tell anybody that you are a thing or you're not a thing, and you're not even really sure, but everybody, but if you were to go talk to another girl, that girl would then get mad at you. You see? And then finally, you're dating, right? Whew. Got that out of the way. Now you're dating. And if she talks to anyone else, and if you talk to another girl, like, whoo, you've crossed the line. You have to only go, like, if you hang out with another girl by just you and that girl, right? That's kind of sketchy, right? You don't do that. It's like, Okay, because today, it's more intricate. It's more kind of how it really is. Because what happens is, as I become friends with you, you're a good guy. How you doing? I meet you, right? Let's say we just met. I haven't really given myself to him. There's no trust, but as we, more time is spent, I start relying on him. He starts knowing who I am. He knows my heart. He knows what's going on for me. And what kind of happens in my mind, and this is not, can we just take a little parenthetical thing here? This isn't necessarily how it works, but this is how I understand it. That he can sign off my name before God. He can be my representative. He can be like a priest, the priesthood of all believers, and he can pray to God for me because of the connection we have. Just like Jesus can pray to the Father for us, we are now the body of Christ, and we go into all the world, and we love people, and we pray for people. Amen? Whew, because it makes a difference. It actually changes the world. God can reach that person because of your connection to them. When you actually go into their daily life, you meet them at the market, you meet them at the store, you meet them at your house, you meet them at a bakery, and you say, hey, we're friends, and you get connected, and you start praying for them, God can actually do things in their life that he couldn't have done had you not been their friend. So that's what I pray we'll do today. There are people in your life, in this church probably, that you know that aren't really connected to God. Maybe they're even living an Adventist life, but they're not living a Christian life. Or maybe they have never... I was in a swimming lesson in Union College at the gym, in the pool, and a little girl who was 6 years old did not know what the Bible was. She's in our campus. That means her mom has never spoken to her about the Bible. Another kid a week ago didn't know who Jesus was, and I talked to her about that. And you know why I had the chance to do that? Because I was her friend. Because she trusted me. So I pray you guys will do that before God today. You'll go to him, and you'll pray. Okay? Amen. I talked too long. My phone froze up. Ooh. All right. 3 minutes. Supplication. This song we're going to sing is hymn 487, and this is probably one of my favorite hymns ever, because this is what we need to do. Find ourselves alone with God. Please, please, church, if I could ask you to do one thing in your life, one thing, it would be to go to God in prayer.